Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Samachei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is highly recommended that you click on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara with which we will be beginning today is found at the very bottom of Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis. We have a diamonded Rav Yehuda featured, and on the margin of our Gemara, and of our Shas Ozer, you can see the expression nosei/mivneh, whereby we present to you a topic heading and structural note combined. A diamond is featured. They represent two maisim shel rabonim, hanoisnim matonos legoyim b'yoyim edom. Two stories involving rabbis giving gifts to Gentiles on their holiday, on the Gentiles' holiday. As we've seen at the beginning of this masechet, dealing with Gentiles, certainly in business matters, and all the more so with regard to gift-giving, one would think that it's prohibited on their holidays. And the general feeling being that if one benefits Gentiles on their idolatrous holidays, they will then go to their idol and offer thanks. And we don't want to be responsible, the Jews don't want to be responsible for any continued form of idolatry. Rav Yehuda shodar le korbana. Korbana is a gift. Le avidrona b'yoyim edom. Avidrona is the name of a Gentile. And Rav Yehuda sent to Avidrona on his Gentile holiday a gift. Omar. Rav Yehuda justified himself by saying, Yodano be delo polach levedis kochavim. I know that he is not an idol worshipper. He might be a Gentile, but he doesn't worship idols. Amarle Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef responds with a question. He says, V'hotanya. Notice we have a double underlined expression. This is one of our series markings. We've explained this in the outside margin under the Mivneh heading. You see a double underline featured. Kushios al Hanhogas Rav Yehuda. Questions concerning the conduct of Rav Yehuda. So the question is, V'hotanya, we have a Tanaic source. Ezehu ger toshav. This is actually a quote that we saw on Samach Dalet Amud Beis, and we have added for your convenience an arrow in the margin, namely to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text. You can see an arrow which helps you find where on Samach Dalet Amud Beis this is coming from. That would mean if you scroll back or turn back to Samach Dalet Amud Beis and look to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll see a parallel arrow indicating there Samach Hayomet Aleph. So in that source, it said that a ger toshav is someone who accepted in front of three knowledgeable people, three chaverim, to abandon idol worship. We don't know that Avidrona didn't do that, so how can you send him a gift on the grounds that he is a non-idol worshiper? Would it not be that he would have had to have a formal acceptance of ger toshav status, or let us say a formal abandoning of idolatry in front of three, and he didn't do that? The Gemara responds, Ki tanyo ahi, the source that was featured on Samach Dalet Amud Beis, which opened up with the issue of Ezehu ger toshav, that was with regard to supporting him, maintaining him. That's lahachioso. But as far as a one-time gift, there doesn't have to be a formal abandoning or acceptance of the abandoning of idolatry in order to justify giving him a gift. It's sufficient for us to know that he is not a formal idol worshiper. The Gemara asks, V'ha'omar Rabba Babarachano, Omar Rav Yochanan, Ger Toshav, She'ovru Olov, Shneimosor Chodesh, V'lomol, Harehu Kemin Sheba'ovdei Kechavim. someone who, a Gentile, that 12 months have gone by and he did not circumcise himself, he is considered like a rebellious individual, a min, of an idolatrous nature. That's the expression, kamin shebaovdei kochavim. And this Avidrona didn't accept upon, he didn't circumcise himself. So, and as a result of that, is he ought he not be considered an ovdei avodah zarah? So the Gemara says, hosam kegon shekibla lov lamu v'lomol. That expression, that a ger toshav who 12 months passed and did not circumcise himself, that's referring to someone that accepted upon himself the desire or the interest of converting, and hence going through Mila, going through circumcision, and after having accepted him upon himself that, then did not do it. That's considered a min shabovdi kachavim. However, if a Gentile never expressed his initial interest in going through circumcision, so it doesn't, and the passage of time doesn't play any role in categorizing him as an idol worshiper. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda felt justified in sending this gentleman Avidrona a gift on an idolatrous holiday, on the grounds that Avidrona himself was known to be a non-idol worshiper. Rovo antile kurbana lebar shishach biyom edam. Rava brought a gift to Bar Shishach, a Gentile, on their holiday. Omar, Rava justified himself by saying, like we saw before, Yodano be de lo polach levedus kochavim. I know that Bar Shishach does not worship idols. Ozal ashkeche di Yosef at Savre Bevarda. Rava went to his Gentile friend Bar Shishach and found him sitting in a pool of rose water. The Kaimon Zonos Arumos Kameh, and there were unclothed harlots that were standing in front of him. Omar Le Bar Shishach, upon seeing Rova, said, Islechu ki agavnu la'amudasi, do you have the likes of this pleasure in your world to come? Omar Le, Rova said, Didon Adifa Tvei Mehai, what we have is better than what you have. In other words, you think you're experiencing the ultimate in sensual pleasure. What we have is better. Amar le tfei mehai mihave. So Bar Shishach says to Rava, better than this, more than this, can there possibly be? As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form. You'll notice the use of triangles, one of our series indicators. These triangles are characterized by a colored in tip to distinguish them from triangles that were seen on the previous Amid. On the side of our Gemara, on the margin, you see the Mivneh heading, in the outside margin, where the colored in tip triangle is featured. Chivos Latinas Bar Shishach. The Gemara will be offering different responses to Bar Shishach. We're dealing here with a topic that has under the surface a great deal of philosophical import, where you seem to have the challenge or the contest between the sensual pleasures that this world has to offer and what Judaism claims are its great rewards that will be experienced only or primarily in the world to come. So that on the one hand, Bar Shishach is without maintaining a life of Torah mitzvahs, is claiming that he has achieved the ultimate in pleasure. What is a response that it can be offered to him? So Rava says, first of all, that what we have is better. Well, what's better about what we have to offer, what Judaism has to offer ultimately, than what Bar Shishach seems to be experiencing? The Gemara continues. Omar Le, Rava says, if you're asking me, can there be better than what you have? I'll tell you. Atun iko alaihu emsa de malchusa. You may be experiencing extreme sensual pleasure, but you have the fear of the government over your heads. There's always a constant lurking or looming fear or possible threat that the government poses to you. Anan. When it comes to the world to come, lo tehevi alon aims to the mahusa, we won't be we won't be under this constant fear of government. Amalei Bar Shishach says, Ano miho mai emsa demachusa ikolai. What kind of governmental fear is there upon me? I'm sitting here in this pool of rosewater with this exquisite company keeping in my presence. What kind of government fear do I have? Well, Adiyasvi also hahu pristika demalka. While they were sitting there, a government official came, a pristika demalka, an emissary of the government. Amalei, he said to Bar Shishach, kum dekaboy loch malka. Get up, the king is summoning you. Kinofik Vyotil, as Bar Shishach was exiting, Amalei, Bar Shishach says to Rava, Eino deboy lemechsi lechu bishusa tifka. The eye that wanted to see evil befall you should burst out. Amalei, Rava Omein. Rava says, so be it. And what happened? Poka Eine de Bar Shishach. This supposed friend of Rava's, his eye popped out. So it seems from the Gemara, on a very superficial level at least, that even though there was some kind of camaraderieship between these two people, the great Rava and this Gentile friend of his, he seemed to harbor some type of ill feelings inside. Amalei Rav Popi, this is a number two, a second triangle we have in our markings to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, kept track of these answers. Rav Popi suggests, Rava could have answered, or should have answered, Bar Shishach's claims from the following verse. You, Bar Shishach, have common harlots serving you. We, when in the world to come, v'nois melachem b'krosecha nitzva shegal limincha b'kesem oifir. We will be served by princesses. Omar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Ibayale lememra le mei hacha. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak claims that Rava should have responded from the following. As far as your question to us, what will we have? Well, ayin lo rasa lakim zulosecho yasele machakeloi, that in order to behold our pleasures in the world to come, no eye has beheld it, with the exception of the Lord himself. So that our rewards are simply indescribable. And therefore, what Judaism has to offer in the world of Torah mitzvahs is much more than whatever possible sensual, limited mortal pleasures that a human being may be able to even dream of when it comes to this world. The Gemara now refers back to the Mishnah on Samach Beis Amud Aleph. Sochroi lasois imoi melocha cheres. If a Gentile hired a Jew to do some kind of other work, namely some type of work that was not directly involving the Yayin Nesech, and the Mishnah says there, even though he tells him, carry for me some barrels of Yayin Nesech from place to place, his wages are allowed. The Gemara asks regarding the heter, the allowance of the Mishnah, the afagav de lo omale li tose erev. Is it so, even if the Gentile, in asking the Jew to do the work, did not mention something about do it for me in the evening, in other words, after hours? On the side of our Gemara, in the outside margin, we have a topic heading, the nose, Mosai Amrinon. When is it? That if a Gentile hired a Jew to work in some non-Yayin Nesech work, are his wages allowed, even though part of what he did in the final analysis was moving Yayin Nesech? The Rashi on the upper part of the page says v'afal gav dehavoras chovis lav litusi erif. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, when we learn the Mishnah, provided the Jew was hired to do a maloch acheres, and the Jew moved yayin nesech barrels, we said the wages are allowed. Is this to be understood even if is the movement of those forbidden barrels was not in the evening? La'achar shenishlam kol zman schar pulaso. In other words, after hours. Ela koydim gemar zman schivus amalo habir chavish shel yain nesach. And rather, he was before his hired time was up. In other words, during hours. During hours, he was asked to move the Yayin Nesech. Does the Mishnah teach Katani Masis and Sfarah Mutter Bitmiha? Let's see now why this seems to be a problem. In other words, was it during work hours that he was asked, as opposed to only after hours? Viramini, we have the following question. Hasocher Esapoyo, one hired a worker. Ulitusei Erev Amarlo Haver Chovas Yayin Nesech. And after hours, toward the evening, he was then asked, the Jewish worker was asked to move a barrel of Yayin Esech, Mimokom Lemokom, from one place to another, Schoro Mutter. The wages are allowed. And the feeling being that the wages are paid for the daytime hours. So he reached a point in time that he finished his daytime hours, so that the chiyuv of schar already was reached. The point at which time the Gentile was obligated to pay the wages was already reached by the end of the day. So the Gemara points out, Taimo Diomale Lutuse Erevin. The reason that the wages are allowed is because the request to move the barrels of wine was in the evening. Kule Yomalo. However, if there was a request to move the barrels of Yayin Esef during the day, then his wages would not be allowed. So why does the Mishnah give us the feeling that the only restriction is that he was hired for some non-Yayin Nesech work? If he was hired for non-Yayin Nesech work, even if during hours he moved barrels of Yayin Nesech, the Mishnah indicates the schar would be allowed. This source would seem to say otherwise. So we have a couple approaches to get out of this. Omar Abaye, number one, Ki Tnanami Masnisen, the circumstances of our Mishnah also, which allowed the wages, that's the Omar Litusei Erev Tnan. The Mishnah was teaching its halacha, its allowance, when the Gentile asked him to move the barrels of Yayin Esech after hours. Rava Omar Lo Kashya. Rava resolves the two sources, the Mishnah versus the source that was just quoted. He says, Ha di Amale, the Brisa, which is restrictive if he didn't ask after hours, is because he was the arrangement was as follows. The Amale, the Gentile, hired the Jew as follows, Haver li mea chavios b'mea prutos. I want you to move 100 barrels for 100 prutos. His hiring arrangements, his contract was to move an entire lot of barrels for a sum of money of 100 prutas. And therefore, if even one barrel were not moved, he would be considered in violation of his contractual agreement. Therefore, if the movement of the Yayin Esech barrel was done during hours, it then becomes part of part of his contractual work, where he was hired to move one lot of barrels. And as long as he doesn't move all of them, then he doesn't deserve any wages. However, the Mishnah, Ha Diyamale, the case of the Mishnah, which didn't care whether the request to move the Yayin Esech was during hours or after hours, Diyamale, Haver Li, Chavis, Chavis, Bepruta. Each barrel was considered a separate contractual agreement, each barrel for one pruta. Let's now take a look at Rashi, how he presents this resolution. Velo Kashya, Rashi says, Masnisen, Dikotoni, Mutter, the Mishnah which provided an allowance without any clause of specifying after hours, Kigon Haver Li Chovis Bepruta. He was hired to move individual barrels, each barrel for one pruta, Benimtseis, pruta being a coin. V'nimtzeis choves shayayin nesa b'nehem, and as he was moving the barrels, it turned out there was a barrel of forbidden wine. What happens then is shodi pruta l'nahara. He can the one pruta that he gets for that barrel, he can toss into the river. Inami lo shokil miad uvikuchavim. Or he simply doesn't take pay for one barrel. The inoch mishteru, and the other prutas are allowed. The holo shayach schara hu chaviz b'hadi inoch. Since he was hired for the movement of individual barrels, the wages for the forbidden barrel are not included in the wages for the other barrels. The holchado kinyan agro be'abei nafsha. Each barrel is a separate contractual agreement. Ubraisa the chi lo amarle letusi erev. The braisa which was restrictive in the sense that the wages would be forbidden if the request to move the prohibited wine was not requested in the evening after hours. Have a kol soro aser, that if he doesn't say litusi, if the request is not after hours, then all of his wages would be prohibited. Kigon de omale, it must be where the Gentile hired him as follows: haver mea chavios bemea prutas. I want you to move 100 barrels for 100 prutas. The chokama de lavrinu lekulu, as long as he didn't move all of the barrels, lo yoyev le midi. He doesn't deserve, he doesn't get anything, he doesn't warrant getting paid. Hilkoch kule agro shayach bay. Therefore, each barrel would actually serve to to restrict payment of his entire wages. Therefore, if one of the barrels happens to be forbidden, then he doesn't deserve any wages. Therefore, if the request to move the Yayin Nesa barrel was not made after he finished his job, he would not be entitled to his wages, because he was hired, in the Brisa case, to move the lot of barrels. V'hotanya, we now have a support to this chiluk that we just heard. Hasokhes apoel, the omelo haverli. Someone was hired, a Jew was hired to move things. One. Mea chavios b'mea prutas. If the contract was move 100 barrels for 100 prutas, v'nimtzeis chavos shayayin nesa b'nehem, and it turned out that one of the barrels was forbidden wine, scharo aser, then all of his wages are forbidden. However, case two, chavos b'pruta, he was hired to move barrels on an individual basis, v'nimtzeis chavos shayayin nesa b'nehem, and it turns out that one of the barrels was prohibited wine, scharo muter, the rest of his wages are allowed. So we see from this source the distinction that Rava made is documented in a Tanaic source as well. Hasocher esachamor lohavi oleo yayin esach schoro oser. Someone was hired to have his donkey move forbidden wine. So the Mishnah tells us that the wages are forbidden. Hasu lomali haino reisha. The Gemara asks, is this not the same as the case of the reisha, where someone was hired to move yayin esach, and we say that his wages are forbidden? What is the necessity of having two cases for? Answer: seifa itzrichle. The seifa, the last part of the Mishnah, the section of the Mishnah that continues to deal with the chamor, that has novel value to us. The Gemara now quotes. You can see this is in a frame. This is a quote of the Seifa of the Mishnah from Samach Beis Amud Aleph. Sochro leishev oleo. A person's donkey was hired for sitting on, for riding. Afalpi sheniach uvei tuchovim legino oleo. Even though the Gentile placed his flask of forbidden wine on the donkey, Schoro Mutter, the Jewish owner of the donkey, is entitled to the wages or the rental fee due to him for the hiring of the donkey. The Gemara asks, "Lemeimra de login lav darke hu lo sove." Does our Mishnah imply that it's unusual? It's not the normal way for people to place their flasks of beverage on animals. Viramini. We have the following Tanaic source. In this source, we will see that a person who hires an animal is entitled. Part of the deal involves his allowance of placing his flask of beverage on the animal. So that would raise a problem or a matter of concern for the seeming allowance that our Mishnah provides for. In other words, according to our Mishnah, the only time the donkey wages are forbidden is if it was hired specifically for the moving of Yayin Esech. However, if the donkey was hired for riding purposes, and in the course of the riding the Gentile customer places his beverage flask on the animal, that doesn't affect the schar. But we see that part of hiring animals for riding purposes involves the placing of your drink on its back. So the Gemara raises the question, Veromini, socher sachamor, one who hires a donkey. So we see in our source here we've used a double underline to distinguish between two cases. The double underline with dots in it is to emphasize two parties. Socher miniach aleha ksuso uleginoso umezoinosov shel oso haderech. The fellow hiring the animal is entitled to place his clothing, his flask and food, flask of beverage and food for the that will last him the entire trip. Mikan ve'elech chamar ma'akev alov. But more than what he needs for that particular trip, the chamar, the owner of the animal, can restrict, can say, listen, I'm not hiring the animal, you're not hiring it to put on it any more than what you need for the trip. Likewise, chamar miniach aleh sa'urim v'tevin u'mezonosiv shel oiso hayom. The owner of the animal is entitled to place on the animal's back the animal's food, the sa'urim v'tevin and his food for that day. Mikan v'elech socher ma'akev alof. However, more than that, the fellow hiring the animal can say, hey, you can't put, I don't want you crowding me out, so to speak, and putting more than what you need for that one day. What we see from this source, though, is what we've dashed underlined. The key word was uleginoso, where the one hiring it, and if we're dealing with a Gentile, like the case of our Mishnah, he might very well be placing on the animal's back a flask of yayin nesech, and the animal is moving the yayin nesech, renter's, the customer's drink that he needs for the entire trip. And yet the Mishnah doesn't seem to be bothered by that. Omar Abaye. So Abaye answers, Nehi de login dina hud lo sovi. Granted that as far as the letter of the law is concerned, the customer has a right to place his drinking flask on its back. Mia iloi moisiv lei. However, if he doesn't take advantage of that allowance, mi amrinon lei, does the customer say to the owner, nechili agro de liginoso, I want you to give me a discount for the cost of the flask on its back? Since the customer isn't going to put a request in, and wouldn't be granted a reduction because he chooses not to place a drinking flask on its back, the schar, the wages, or the rental fee doesn't include that in it. And therefore, the Jewish owner would be entitled to receive the full rental fee entitled to him for renting out his donkey, even if the customer places a flask of Yayin Esech on his back. The Gemara now involves the details of the source where we saw a distinction between the amount the socher is allowed to place on its back and the amount the owner, the chamar, is allowed to place on its back. Hey, chidomi. E deshchiach lemizvan, if it's common to have stuff to buy. In other words, the road that they're taking has lots of stores along the way. Chamar nami lakev. Let the owner of the animal restrict the customer in telling him that I don't want you carrying on my animal's back all of your food for the entire trip. V'i delo shchiach lemizvan, if there are no stores along the way, there's nothing available to buy along the way, socher nami lo lakev, then let the customer not be able to restrict the owner from the amount that that he is allowed to place on the animal's back. The source told us that the chamar is restricted to keeping only one day's worth of food on its back. But if it's not shchich lemitzvah, if it's not common to be, have places along the way to purchase stuff, so why is it that the socher is able to restrict them to one day? Omar Rav Papa, lo tzricha. Rav Papa explains that the case is necessary to teach you the shchich lemitzvah lemitzvah me'una le'una, that it is common from station to station. Me'una le'una, Rashi explains, is mahalach yoy mechad, that there are stations along the way within a day's journey, so that a full day won't go by until they come upon another stop along the way. Chamar darkei lemitrach lemizvan, the owner of the animal, he's common, it's his derech, it's his common way, he's accustomed to dealing with these, with the vendors along the way. Socher lav darkei lemitrach lemizvan, but customers, the people that hire animals for trips, it's not common, it's not their style, and they're not expected to deal with the vendors along the way. Avur de Rav Avo de Rav Acha Brei de Rav Ika. Before we go further, let's take advantage of the title that we're assigning to this piece of Gemara. The outside margin, you see a nosei, a topic heading. Maisa Shabo Nidon Baya Shiroitzu Bikumo Shayai Nesef. We're going to have an incident here, and one of the facets of this incident, of this story, involves the issue of desiring the maintenance of Yayin Nesach, of forbidden wine. We've seen the issue of Rotza Bikumo discussed in earlier Gemaras, and it posed a problem. So we have the father of Rav Achon, Havishofech Luhu Chamro Li'oivde Kechovim, V'ozil Ma'avr Luhu Ma'avra, V'yavule Gufi Ma'agra. This person sold wine to Gentiles. The Gentiles paid him not only for the wine and the wine barrels, but the seller also was instrumental in the transport of their purchased wine over a river. So as the Rashi points out, let's look at the Rashi together at the top. Havishofech luchamlo v'kochavim hu hoya mochelohem yayin. He used to sell to the Gentiles wine, v'derech lemochrei chovios shel yayin. The style or the custom was that those who sold barrels of wine, their derech was litein gam hachovios lelochin. They also would give the barrels, they wouldn't just pour out the barrels into receptacles of the customers, but they would transfer the barrels as well to the customers. The hachi amrin b'amafkid ikogufi v'shadre shalokeach mochro b'chanus mistaker bohen levad mashu mistaker b'yayin. The general practice was that in addition to profit they made on the wine, they would also make profit from the barrels that they sold. In our case, there's a slight variation. V'rav Ika have a shofich lehu migufi shelokhu mimenu. Rav Ika used to take the barrels. Now bear in mind, the customers paid for the wine and they paid for the barrels as well. However, Rav Ika would pour from the barrels that the customers bought, v'yohiv b'ziki didhu, pour from the barrels into their flasks. The Gemara goes on to say, on the second line from the top, v'yavule gulfe ba'agra, and the goyim, after paying for the barrels, they would leave the barrels with Rav Ika, the seller, as part of his profit. So they would pay for the barrels and would not take the barrels. So Rav Ika profited from the barrels as well. Profited in the sense that he he held on to the barrels that they probably paid for. This was the deal. This was what they had agreed upon. Asu Omru Le Labaye. Abaye was informed of his dealings. Omar Le, Abaye said, Ki ko torach, behetero ko torach. His Rav Iko's tircha, his efforts, were expended on that which was allowed. Namely, what was Rav Iko doing? He was pouring kosher wine into their flasks. So, what was he getting paid for? He was getting paid for kosher wine and getting paid for the pouring of the kosher wine into their flasks. And that's what Abaye means by saying behetero kotorach. He was torach, he was troubling himself with that which was mutter. Let's see how Rashi explains this. Dibur maslo b'didei kotorach. Shayayin eino nasar. The wine doesn't become forbidden. Ad shemagia lekarkois shelziki ditu. Until it reaches the bottom of their flasks. At that point, the wine that is, let us say, the Gentile wine that might remain in their flasks, at that point gets mixed up or it comes into contact with the kosher wine, and only at that point does the wine become prohibited. Ziki, Rashi points out, equals shel or, leather. Gufi, shel cheres. Gufi is are made of clay. So at this point, Abaye is saying that what Rav Iko is doing is perfectly all right. What's he doing? He's taking kosher wine and pouring it into their flasks. And as long as he is taking the barrels and pouring it into their flasks, he's preoccupying himself. He's dealing with kosher material. The Gemara asks, but before we go on, let's just emphasize one point, and that we saw in Rashi, that the wine does become forbidden when it reaches the bottom of their flasks, at which point it gets mixed up with any residual Gentile wine. The Gemara asks now, and we have triangles indicating, as we've indicated on the side, we have a Nose Mivne heading here. She'elos birur, questions for clarification purposes. Eich muter lahavir, how is it muter to transport tamura schar in exchange for payment? Yayin shekona goy misrael, the wine that the Gentile acquired from the Jew. So the Gemara asks, v'ho roitze bekiyumoi dolo nitztaru ziki. Is it not so that Rav Iko is interested in the maintenance of the wine? Maintenance meaning that the wine, after it's poured into their ziki, into their flasks, Rashi, as we said it does become forbidden because at that point it gets mixed with the residual yayin esech, and Rav Iko is still interested in the maintenance of this arrangement of the flasks so that their leather flasks don't crack. Because if they do crack, then he's going to have to give his barrels to them, and as we mentioned before, he profited from those barrels. Rashi says, "Delo nitzteru ziki sheli yizbaku hanoydu shelahem." He is interested that their leather flask should not crack. Vitzdarchu legufi, and then they'll need his clay casks. Velo yavi lehu nihale. Let's now see the Gemara. So the Gemara is raising the problem: is he not interested in the maintenance of forbidden wine? As we mentioned, because if anything happens to the flasks that contain wine which now has become prohibited, he will then have to provide them with the replacement vessels. So the Gemara has two responses to this, to the issue of roitze b'kiyumo. Demasni b'hadayu. He made a condition with them that he made a condition with them that if anything happens to their flasks, he won't give them the he won't be the one to provide the replacement vessels. So he doesn't care if anything happens. So he's not a rotze b'kiyumo. Inami de maisu pristiki b'hadayu. Another possibility is that he was dealing with people that brought their own replacement vessels with them, so that as far as he was concerned, it didn't make any difference to him if anything happened to those flasks. So there's no problem of rotze b'kiyumo on the part of Rav Ika. Question: the ha'kom aver luhu mavro the kotorach b'isura. Did we not mention on the top, the second line from the top, that Rav Ika was responsible for the transportation of these vessels? So is he not in effect transporting and seemingly getting paid for the transportation of that which is forbidden? The Gemara answers two answers. One, the Amar Lei the Mavruye Meikora. Let's see how Rashi explains this. The Amar Lei the Mavruye Meikora. Rav Ika Reish Na Rahave. Rav Ika was in charge of the river and river transport. The Amar Lei the Mavruye Lasapon. He told the people that dealt with the ferrying of merchandise across the river, he told them Meikora at the outset, Hare Yomim Rabim Kol Eis Shiagiu Anoshim Alolo Haviram Bechinam. Whenever these people come to your boats, ferry them across for nothing, for free. So Rav Acha was not himself directly involved with the transport of it, and the transport in fact was done for nothing. So there's no issue here of Rav Ika being involved with getting paid for the transport of forbidden wine. Inami, the Gemara goes on with another explanation. Dinakiti Bay Kitri. Rashi explains this as well. Kitri, Kishri. Kishri are knots. Simon, who Moser Lahem. Rav Ika would give the Gentiles that bought wine from him, he would give them certain signs. Umakiram Hasapon, the farriers noticed these knots, which indicated that they received permission from Rav Ika. Umaviron, and they would ferry these people, these customers across. Viu lo torachmidi, but he himself, and this is the main point for our discussion, Rav Ika himself was not physically involved with the transport of these forbidden barrels or forbidden flasks of wine. The Mishnah. Yayin Nesech Shenofal Agabi Anovim. It may be noted that at this point in the Gemara will be starting a sugya which is actually well known in Halacha Lamaisa circles as dealing with issues concerning tarovis, mixtures of that which is allowed with that which is forbidden. This general topic lasts for a number of dapim. In fact, it will continue till some daf samach tes. The Mishnah starts by telling us about a case of yayin as a forbidden wine, shenofal agabi anovim. We have used a double underline here to feature several examples of mixtures of the Yayin Nesech with other items. We have Anovim, then Te'enim, and Temorim. So the first example has the Yayin Nesech falling on grapes. Yadichon vehein mutaros. The Mishnah says, well, just rinse them off and the grapes are allowed to be eaten. Vimhoyu mivukois asuros. If, however, the grapes are cracked, thereby enabling the wine to enter the interior of the grapes and get absorbed into the grapes are forbidden. Another case, nofal agabi te'enim, o agabi tamorim. The yayin nesach fell on figs or on dates. Im yesh bohen benoy seintam oser. If the taste of the wine is perceptible in the figs or dates, then they're forbidden. We've dashed underlined the word oser, indicating that the halacha concerning this interaction or this mixture between the yayin nesach and these fruits results in if it's perceptible, it results in a prohibition. Now we have a story, Umaisa Bebaitis Ben Zunin, Shehevi Grogros Bisfina. Baitus was transporting dried figs, grogos are dried figs, in a boat, and a barrel of forbidden wine cracked, and the wine flowed on the grogros. Notice, we've dashed on the line vehitirum. This incident actually, hitirum means the chachomim allowed the grogros. So it would seem that this incident contradicts the ruling that the Mishnah itself provided concerning the dates and the mixture and their mixing with Yayin Nesach, namely a restrictive ruling. Here, the Chachamim are matir, it allow. Ze haklal, kol shebanosu b'noi seitam, osir. The general rule is if one is able to perceive the forbidden, the taste of that which is forbidden in the mixture, in the mutter stuff, so the mixture becomes prohibited. Kol she'ein b'hanos b'noi seitam, if there is no perceptible taste, mutter, then it's allowed. We might add here that even if there's a perceptible taste, but there's no hanoa from it, there's no pleasure from it, it's actually negative, that's called she'ein b'hanosu b'noi seitam, that one does not have any hanoa from the taste of that which is forbidden, then mutter. An example of that would be kagon chometz shenofal gabi grisin. Chometz is a type of vinegar. Vinegar that fell on grisin. The type of food item that doesn't have a good taste when the grisin mix with vinegar. The Gemara asks regarding the incident featured in the Mishnah. One asks, Maisa Listor, and you'll notice with our arrows that we have to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, an ease of reference here, where the Maisa appeared in the Mishnah. Just find the parallel arrow, and you can see the dashed, underlined Maisa word. So, as we were reading the Mishnah, we indicated this incongruity, where the Mishnah ruled a ruling of restriction, and then provided a Maisa, an incident, which contradicts that, resulting in heter, in an allowance. So do Mishnayos teach incidents that contradict their own rulings? The Gemara explains, Chisuri Mechasur V'Hochi Katoni. The Mishnah is a bit brief, it's abbreviated, and the proper way of understanding it is as follows. We've included the following few lines, next few lines, in a frame indicating that this is the way the Mishnah is to be understood. Im noisein tam lifgam hu mutter. If the mixture of the Yayin Nesach with whatever it fell on leaves a negative taste, then it's mutter, then it's allowed. Umaisen nami bebaitis ben zunin shohaya mevi grogros besfina. V'nishtabro chovis shel Yayin Nesach, and a barrel of Yayin Nesach cracked, v'nofal al gabehen, and fell on those grogros that Baitos was transporting, ubo maisel lefnei chacham v'etirum, and they allowed it. So what we've done with our markings, we've dashed underlined vetirum and the word mutter a few lines above, and that is what should have been understood in the Mishnah, that if there's a no saint tam lifgam, as opposed to a positive taste, if the taste that results from the mixture of that which is prohibited with that which is mutter is of a negative nature, then even though one perceives the taste of that which is prohibited, the result is allowed. Hahu kri dechiti denofal ale chavita diayin nesech. There was a pile of wheat that a barrel of yayin nesech, forbidden wine, fell on the wheat. Sharye rova lizvune laovde kachavim. And rova allowed the sale of this wheat to Gentiles. We now see a geometric form. This is we have an explanation to accompany this sugya. On the outside margin, we have the nosei. The topic heading is Yayin Nesach Shenishbach Al-Gabi Chitim, forbidden wine that fell on wheat. And the mivneh, the structural note, has the house featured with the point facing up, topward. That's Loma Hekil. Why was he so mekil? Questions regarding why was he so mekil? And then we'll have an inverted geometric form, an inverted house, which will be raising the question of Loma Hichmir. Esve Rabba Bar Livoi LaRava. We have a question, and you'll notice the question itself is a long question marking. Esve Rabba Bar Livoi LaRava. Beged She'ovad Boi Kil'ayim. Hareze Lo Yimkereno Le'oved Kechavim. An article of clothing that had in it some mixture of linen and wool in it. So you have an article of clothing, and ovad bo kilayim, it means that in this article of clothing, or in this fabric, there is a forbidden mixture, garment mixture, linen and wool. So, hareza lo yimkerena le'ovei kechavim. One is not allowed to sell it to Gentiles. V'lo yasenem ardas l'chamor, and one is not allowed to use it as a saddle cover for a donkey. Avol oisa oiso tachrichin lemeis mitzvah. But one is able to use it as shrouds for the dead, for a meis mitzvah. L'oivei kechavim, my time alo. Why in this source do we see a restriction of selling it to Gentiles? Is it not because Dilma Osi Lizuni Israel, he may turn around and resell it to a Jew, and a Jew is prohibited from wearing kilayim, from wearing shatnez. Hachinami, with regard to the pile of wheat that had the Yayin Esach mix in with it, Hachinami Osi Lizuni Israel. May it not come to be that the Gentile that the wheat was sold to will turn around and sell it to Jews? Well, upon hearing this reaction or this objection, Hodar Shora Lemitchinu Ulemefinu Ulizvuninu Leovikovim Shalobifne Israel. He then ruled that what would be allowed is to grind up the wheat, and Lemefinu is to bake it, and then sell the baked items, that which was baked with this problematic wheat, sell the baked goods to Goyim, provided Jews do not see the sale. The Gemara now will be asking a question in the opposite direction. Here the Gemara will be asking, why was he machmir? Why did he rule that that one is allowed only to sell the allowing only the sale of the wheat to a goy, and didn't allow the wheat simply to be rinsed off? Tanan. And that's why we have an inverted house marking here, as we saw on our Mivneh heading, Lomo Hichmir. The question is, why is he so Machmir? Tanan. Yayin Nesech, Shenofal Gabi Anovim. Forbidden wine that fell on grapes. Yadichon Vehem Mutaros. You can rinse off the grapes, and the grapes are allowed. Vim Hoyo Mivukos, Asuros. If the grapes are cracked, then it would be forbidden. Mivukos in She'ein Mivukos Lo. Only when are they forbidden? Only if they're cracked. But if they're not cracked, then they are not allowed. They are not prohibited. They're mutter. So the question is, why was Rava allowing the only allowance he provided for was the sale to Gentiles? Why not rinse off the wheat? Amar Rav Papa, shiny chiti wheat, which was the topic that Rava ruled over, is different. Hoyo v'agav tzirayu kemivukos damyon. Since natural wheat has a slit in it, the way they grow with a slit in it, they have a status of being split. And as we saw before, split grapes have no heter. And likewise, there was no heter for rinsing off the split the wheat that had slits in it, natural slits, and therefore that was not an option. And therefore the only option that he had was to have it sold to Goyim. And as we saw, his allowance was the wheat would be ground up and baked and sold to Goyim, not in the presence of Jews, so that there would be no onlookers thinking that the Jew was selling kosher baked goods, when in fact we're not going to view it as such. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.